I arranged for all of our wonderful speakers to be introduced, but I didn't arrange for myself to be introduced because I figure a lot of you know me. I've been working in the area of religious education in Quebec since 68. Ron Morris, who was here, said he was 10 at that time. And I've seen what has happened, and I'm going to be the person who is the most brief today, because some of you know what I'm going to talk about. I've tried to bring it up to the issues today about what the situation has been in Quebec regarding religious literacy from the founding of the colony of New France here up to the new program, etc., and the issues surrounding that. So don't worry, we're going to be on schedule at one point, but I just wanted to set the scene a little bit for Quebec. So, as those of you who know Quebec history from the very beginning of the colony here, of the French colony, religious orders, the Ursulines in Quebec, Marguerite Bourgeois, that the city of Montreal erected a beautiful statue to, had schools here, and it was inconceivable for them to have these Catholic schools and exclude the teaching of religion. There is this tradition of fides quaerens intellectum. I thought I'd impress you and throw a little Latin in there. Faith seeking understanding. So it was from the perspective of faith. It was presumed that the people you were teaching were going to become Catholics or were Catholics that needed to understand their faith. Now, there was in 1716, we just celebrated, depending on what side of the linguistic spectrum you're on, but commemorated the Battle of the Plains of Abraham, which was 1759, when the British took over the colony here. And it was a very difficult period for the church, at least till about 1840. So for the next 80 years, they couldn't recruit. New clergy could not come into the province, etc. But things improved after that. And the church always resisted the state interfering in education. The BNA Act, which is the creation of Canada, the British North American Act, education as it still exists in Canada comes strictly under provincial control. And there were protection for minority Catholics in Upper Canada and minority Protestants in Lower Canada, which is Quebec. So we had a confessional school system, Catholic and Protestant. And these communities basically ran their schools with little or no interference. And we just commemorated the death of Duplessis, and some who remember that era or certainly have read about it. The church at that time had tremendous influence. Even in the late 60s, when I was living in Sherbrooke, the archbishop, if he saw a billboard sign he didn't like because the woman was through décolleté, he could call the city of Sherbrooke and have it taken down. That influence existed for quite a while. Vocations to the priesthood and religious life abounded. There are some statistics that say that Quebec was the highest, had the highest number of vocations, and the highest number of missionaries per population. I was looking into this historically, 1%, which may not seem like a lot, but in a village of 1,000, there would be 10 Quebecers who would be nuns, brothers, or priests. Bernard Landry, who was the premier of Quebec, used to say, we all had an aunt that we would call ma tante, ma soeur, my aunt, sister. Okay. I found this an interesting quote in the context of the visit of His Holiness the Dalai Lama. Paul Trudel, who is a famous French writer and convert to Catholicism, called Quebec the Tibet of Catholicism at that time. 1960 was the beginning of what in Quebec we call the Quiet Revolution, with Jean Lesage's political motto that c'est le temps que ça change, it's time for change. We call it a revolution because the changes were radical and permanent, and quiet because, except for a few explosions here and there, it was relatively peaceful. Pierre Bourgault noted that we had a revolution in Quebec and we didn't even kill one priest. You know, so it was, for him, that was pretty quiet. This commission here, Perron Commission, I mentioned because it basically changed education in Quebec and brought it under the control of the state. And if we have cégeps in Quebec today, I had interviewed a couple of the people of this commission for my first book on Catholic education in Quebec. If we have cégeps, for example, it's the result of the Perron Commission. By the way, Monseigneur Parent was a Monsignor who was the Dean of Education at Laval at the time. We have a Ministry of Education that was created only in 1964, and education came under that. Pierre Gérin Lajoie was the first education minister, and UQAM has decided to name their pavilion officially Paul Gérin Lajoie. He's still alive, and I think that's an excellent choice. And the teaching of religion came, the approval of courses, etc., of textbooks, of the program, came under the committee. I was a member of the Catholic Committee, the last one. We'll talk about that. And then I was a member of the new Religious Affairs Committee. But those committees did have some real power in the sense that the religion programs had to be approved by them. And Bob Jackson, who's here today, had a lot of influence over the content and pedagogy of the Protestant program. So through the 70s and 80s, you know, there's a whole history of back and forth of attempts to create linguistic school boards. So not Catholic and Protestant. For example, it caused some difficulty for English Catholics who kind of got caught in the middle. They had the language of the minority, but the religion of the majority. But the boards were not along linguistic lines, so English Catholics were a minority always within a majority French-speaking board. I was in one of those boards. We were the only school in Régional de Chambly. We were the only school, high school, that was English. All the other big high schools were French. During that time, they had introduced a new option. Up to that time, if you went to a Catholic school, you had to have the Catholic program. Protestant school, Protestant program. In the Catholic school and the Protestant schools, finally the ministry said, you have to offer an option that is not confessional. There was a lot of resistance, especially on the Catholic side. And then teachers were told that they could be exempted from teaching religion on the basis of their conscience. So those were things that happened in the 70s and 80s. The big... In 1997, the Section 93 of the Canadian Constitution was struck down for to allow linguistic boards, and only one member of Parliament from Quebec voted against that. Was Clifford Lincoln, but it passed in Ottawa, and it was the Quebec government at the time. Pauline Marois was the Minister of Education, had to go to Ottawa and ask them to exempt Quebec from that section, which guaranteed confessional education. Then there was a task force put into, we've all heard of the Prue Commission, to study the place of religion in the schools. This made the headlines for the papers for a long time, talk shows. So we used to get the press clippings, one of the advantages of being in the Catholic Committee, and there was a lot there. What did he recommend? A secular school system, no confessional school system, study of religion from a cultural perspective. Note here that he does not mention ethics. It was the study of religion from a cultural perspective. There was no notion at that time. And common religious and spiritual support services for all students, because we had pastoral animators, which are like chaplains, even though most of them were lay people, in the schools who were confessionals. I always point out that the changes sometimes in legislation happen when everybody's barbecuing. So on July 1, 1999, confessional school boards were abolished. Linguistic school boards were established, but you still had confessional schools within a linguistic board. You could have them for one more year. In 2000, confessional schools are abolished, but the ministry said you will be allowed to offer Catholic, Protestant, more options for all elementary students up to secondary 4 and 5, and there they would have a common program. By the way, the confessional committees were abolished at that time too, and we had a nice little supper for our last meeting in Boucherville, and we got a little gift, I think, from the bishops of Quebec, and thanked us for all our work. And that was it. the pastoral anime, that's a whole other interesting aspect, that we have people in our schools called spiritual support and community service animators, and they have to have a university degree, etc., to obtain those posts. We were abolished, and they set up a religious affairs committee. And there were only three of us out of the 30 from the Protestant Catholic Committee that switched from a confessional committee to a non-confessional committee. It was very interesting for me to see the dynamic and the changes. Because the school system favored Catholics and Protestants, every 5 years, the minister in Quebec, the Quebec government, had to take a decision to renew what is called a notwithstanding clause that the provinces had. And this notwithstanding clause basically said, notwithstanding the fact that Catholics and Protestants are favored, we will continue a confessional options. Because those options went against this notion of everyone being treated fairly and equally. So in 2005, it's usually every 5 years, so it would have been 2010, but the minister said he would only renew it for 3 years, and at that time there would be a new program. This was a big command. Those of you who are in the school system, and many of you are here, know that when the ministry introduces a new program, it's usually 1 year at a time. Because of the legal issues here, etc., this program had to be introduced from grade 1 to grade 11 the same year. And that was quite a command. So I remember people at the ministry saying, our minister is always double parked. You know, she's always like, let's go, you know. So this was quite a challenge. They had to amend also the Charter of Human Rights and Freedoms, and some people thought that there should have been a lot of more discussion around this issue, because the charter, prior to the amendment, I'll let you read it, basically saying that parents have a right to public education and that their children receive a religious or moral education in keeping with their convictions. So if you move to a non-confessional system and some persons from a confessional perspective say, that's not in keeping with my convictions, and that could have legal ramifications. So proponents of confessional religious education, and there were many at the time, said that that was in line with the Universal Declaration of Human Rights from the United Nations, where parents have a right to choose the kind of education that shall be given to their children. But the Quebec Charter changed to read, parents or the persons acting in their stead have a right to give their children a religious and moral education. I always say die after that, because I think that's a right that is common sense, but in keeping with their convictions and with proper regard for their children's rights and interests. And that last phrase made some people a little nervous. For example, if we take Amish children, if somebody said at one point, we don't think Amish children are getting the education that is proper and according to their interests, could the state intervene? So, there was issues around that. This is how the ministry described the program. I won't read it all through, but it is, because we will look at the competencies very quickly, but the course came to be called Ethics and Religious Culture. And notice that even though Jean-Pierre Prou did not refer to an ethical component, that was added on the ministry's decision. So the two main objectives of the program, and people have to keep going back to these when they talk about this program, how they're interpreted and how they're taught are two other issues. And many people that even are contesting certain issues, I know, don't contest these objectives. The recognition of others and the pursuit of the common good. And I like Charles Taylor, when his quote, when he talks about what recognition can or cannot do. I like the term in French, to reconnaître, to know again, to know in a different way. So our identity is partly shaped by recognition or its absence. Non-recognition or misrecognition can inflict harm, can be a form of oppression, imprisoning someone in a false, distorted, and reduced mode of being. I remember some of the directors of the textbooks for Quebec when they said that you must show visible minority. And I remember a little black Canadian child looking at a book and seeing another black child and saying, ah, c'est moi, or that handicapped children. So there's sorekanai, to be recognized. Now, the three competencies reflects on ethical issues. Originally, it was take an ethical position, a little bit watered down, maybe to reflect at least on these ethical issues. You may not necessarily take one, and you shouldn't be cheating like these guys if you are. An understanding of the phenomenon of religion. It's not to study a religion from A to Z, which some people criticize, saying it's just studying superficial aspects of religion. That's one criticism. But this is the competency. Why religion? And engages in dialogue, which is the key competencies that surrounds the other two. Okay? Some of the challenges. The professional development of teachers and the formation of education students, we're talking about religious illiteracy. There was a perception, even in other jurisdictions, Isabel is going to talk about France, that not only the students, but the teachers and students had some catching up to do. I'm in teacher formation here in the area of religious education. Once in a while, we have bright students at McGill. I'll say, oh, that guy has the patience of Job. And I'll say, oh, by the way, do you know what that means? About 5% who knew who Job was. I mean, so that whole aspect, but I must say, the ministry pulled out all stops for the formation of teachers. We had sessions here. In fact, I was in Dean's meeting, and they were talking about implementing new programs with le modèle éthique et culture religieuse. So we're going to have a new math program. Let's use the modèle éthique et culture religieuse because there was a lot of preparation put in. Now, I'm just going to talk about the resistance by some religious and secular groups and individuals for very different reasons. The religious content is insufficient. Other groups say eliminate. Now, this may look very simple, what I'm putting up there, but it's quite a search on reading legal documents and websites. So, some said, forget about the religion part. Ethics should not be coupled with religion. Others have said that. Daniel Weinstock has said that. That you give the impression that if you're not religious, you don't have ethics. Okay. The approach is one of relativism, which I tried to address at one point, that any opinion is good, and et cetera, et cetera. And I tried to say, well, if an objective is a search for the common good, you cannot conclude that what is good for me is necessarily good for everyone else. But that is one of the criticisms. Elementary children will be confused. I was interviewed yesterday. It was the first time in a marathon of interviews about this symposium by the CBC, 10 times in a row, from affiliates from Cape Breton to Vancouver. And they'll say, well, will this undermine the parents' religious perspective, etc.? Will elementary children be confused? So I always say it depends what's taught and how it's taught. Math always confused me. Not enough Christian content. So there was a kind of promise that there would be more emphasis on the Catholic Protestant traditions in Quebec. The bishops, Catholic bishops of Quebec, have recently also made this concern. The teachers are not well prepared to teach the program. These are all. Private religious schools should be exempted from the program. Now, this is a touchy issue also. This program is to be implemented in all schools, private and public. It does not forbid the teaching of confessional religion in those schools. For example, Loyola High School can teach Catholicism as much as it wants, but it must also teach this course. The same. Quebec has a large number of private schools. Montreal, I was director of student teaching. I think we have about 25, 27 Jewish private schools in Montreal. And in Quebec, private schools are subsidized by about 50% by the government. So whatever costs a child, it's whoever's calculating. When I came to Quebec in 68, it was 80%. It's down to 50%. But as I say, it's about that. Now, there are court challenges. I'm going to mention two. There's a minor other one, but these are the two. This Coalition pour la Liberté en Éducation and Loyola High School, very different issues, okay? And the principle of Loyola always reminds me, it's very different issues, okay? So they claimed, and that's a coalition really fueled by Catholic parents, even though they do refer to the Mouvement Laïque Québécois. But, and they said that the compulsory nature of the program violates the Charter of Rights regarding freedom of conscience. The judge disagreed, and the decision will likely be appealed. Sometimes they say for sure, and sometimes they say if we have funds, and any of our speakers today, or Georges has been involved and can correct me if I make any errors here. Loyola's position, and this I took off their own website, and I've also read those, is basically we don't have any problems with the competencies or the objectives, but we're asking only for accommodation of being able to teach it using the pedagogical methods and principles that are characteristic of Loyola and the Jesuit school. And that ministry refused the school permission to use an equivalent program, and the case was heard in court in June 2009. So the case has been heard, and there has not been any decision. Would have been dramatic to have it today, but now these positive aspects, I would say, are mine, but I don't think I'm on a little island by myself. Okay, I'll just put it that way. For me, the end of uncertain. By the way, as a member of the Catholic Committee, we had proposed another proposal. But one of the things we said in the Catholic Committee, and by the way, we had a bishop sitting with us, Bishop Blanchet, was we could not ask for Catholics and Protestants that we could not give to others, that we did not want a privileged position in the public schools anymore. So it was more on the Belgian model that would offer a variety of confessional teaching in the public schools. That was not the option that was taken. But the whole confessional programs, generally, the English side was very strong. But the terms I heard all the time was, we're on life support, we're under the sword of Damocles, what is happening with our program? So that ended uncertainty. At least we knew what was happening. A lot of people were not comfortable that to privilege Catholics and Protestants, we had to override a Charter of Rights and Freedoms. Some politicians, a good friend of mine, Claude Ryan, said, well, it's there to be used. Others were saying, I remember Jean-Pierre, was a lot of people were saying, we're overriding to give privileges to religious groups. And these three options had to be scheduled. So the kids all taking English, at one point, when it came to their religion or moral ed course, they divided up into three. And school administrators sometimes drove them nuts. They had two kids taking, you know, Chicoutimi. They had one Protestant child. He was off in the library. It was not easy. It's a more inclusive content. There was a serious commitment, and I talked about that. And from my perspective, you know, the ministry could have just said, that's it. More French, more English, more math, more phys ed. No, they took a stand that they're going to offer this program. I like this quote. Thank you.